So the Diamond Sutra is pointing us towards this sort of experience. So when we read these last passages, the last two passages that we looked at, I think one of the ways we can approach this whole issue of perception is in the ways I've indicated, shifting from use to aesthetic appreciation, shifting from perception to prajna. And why? These sections had, remember, because Subhuti in these bodhisattvas, no perception of a self takes place, no perception of a being, no perception of a soul, no perception of a person, nor do these bodhisattvas have a perception of a dharma or a perception of a no dharma, no perception or non-perception takes place in them. So in your practice of appreciation, notice that there's no perception or non-perception. And why? If Subhuti, these bodhisattvas should have a perception of either a dharma or a no dharma, they would thereby seize on a self, a being, a soul, or a person. And why? Because a bodhisattva should not seize on either a dharma or a no dharma. Therefore, this saying has been taught by the Tathagata with a hidden meaning. Those who know the discourse on dharma as like unto a raft should forsake dharmas, still more so, no dharmas. So I hope that little discussion has of perception has given you perhaps a little way into those passages. We transcend using through appreciative, loving, aesthetic awareness. And we need, in fact, to bring this appreciative quality to the Diamond Sutra itself. It's good and it's important that we try to understand this sutra, and it's good and it's important that we try to see its practical value and implication, but in a way, let's face it, the sutra is useless. And reading the sutra is useless. The sutra is not a scientific manual. It's not going to help us mend cars. And I'm sure somebody could get that out of it. The whole world's in this sutra. And it's definitely not like the Bible. It's not full of commandments and so on. Try to read the sutra if you're kind of struggling with it. Try to read it as you would a poem. Just kind of let go into it. Try to be light with it. Sit loose to it. Try to imagine it. And then interesting things maybe can start to happen. And this brings us to chapter 7 of the sutra. So let me read chapter 7. I'm not sure what page this is on in Wisdom Beyond Words, but it goes like this. The Lord asked, "What do you think, Subhuti? Is there any dharma which the Tathagata has fully known as the utmost right and perfect enlightenment? Or is there any dharma which the Tathagata has demonstrated?" Subhuti replied, "No, not as I understand what the Lord has said." "And why?" "This dharma which the Tathagata has fully known or demonstrated, it cannot be grasped. It cannot be talked about. It is neither a dharma nor a no dharma." "And why?" "Because an absolute exalts the holy persons." So here the Buddha puts a question to Subhuti. Remember, at the end of the last chapter, he's spoken about bodhisattvas not perceiving a self, a soul, a person, a being, not perceiving dharmas or no dharmas. All perceptions and conceptions are dissolved. Here he, as it were, pushes on. If true of the Buddhas, it must be true also of the Buddha himself and the enlightenment that makes him a Buddha. The Buddha doesn't know anything called supreme and perfect enlightenment. He doesn't know anything called supreme and perfect enlightenment. And he doesn't demonstrate, teach and explain or communicate anything called supreme and perfect enlightenment. In fact, he doesn't communicate anything. The Buddha doesn't know anything and the Buddha doesn't teach anything. Reminds me of a famous phrase from the Lankavatara Sutra, from his enlightenment to his parinirvana, "I have not uttered a single word." Very scary. We're Buddhist. We go for refuge to the Buddha precisely because he has known enlightenment and attained and experienced enlightenment and taught enlightenment. That's why we do this thing. We read the life of the Buddha. We find it incredibly inspiring to read of his struggles and his efforts to know and gain enlightenment. And we're told now that there's no dharma, no thing that fully knows or demonstrates supreme and perfect enlightenment. So is the Diamond Sutra telling us to not be inspired by the Buddha's life, that that's all false? If that's all false, then we cannot know enlightenment. We cannot teach enlightenment. That's the inclination. Let's all go home and just forget about it. Well, I don't think that's the implication. Not in the way we would usually understand it anyway. What the Diamond Sutra, of course, is getting at, is pointing to, is that the Buddha's enlightenment has transcended subject and object. Knowledge implies a knower and a known. In enlightenment, that framework of knowing and known has dissolved. So you cannot grasp it, you cannot teach it. If you can grasp it, if you can teach it, it's not enlightenment, it's a falsification. People try to deal with this by saying, oh yeah, but enlightenment's an experience. Okay, it's not knowing something or grasping something, it's an experience. Well, you've got the same problem. Experience implies the thing experienced and the experiencer. You're in the same territory. Or people say, yeah, but okay, it's not experience, but it's like a taste. Yeah, same problem. If you have taste, you have the thing taste and the taster. It's still in that subject-object framework. Of course, as soon as you speak, as soon as you think, you're in that framework. You're in that framework. You're not in the truth. You're not in reality.